Let me read some scripture to start. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor do I have a haughty look. I do not have great aspirations or concern myself with things that are beyond me. Indeed, I have calmed and quieted myself. Like a weaned child with its mother, I am content. Like a young child, hope in the Lord now and forevermore. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence here tonight. And Lord, I pray that each one here would feel your presence and know your presence with them. Lord, I ask that this would be time well spent in the light of all eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm reading out of the NIV, and I'm reading Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteousness. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors? Are you not even the tax collection doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing only to others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Marika. How many of you are musical? How many of you like music? I was tempted to bring out my guitar tonight and play a song, because I haven't played it for several months. I haven't tuned it for several months. And just in case you were wondering, I wanted you to know what something sounds like out of tune. My guitar is a little bit different in that I have 12 strings. And so when you get 3 or 4 or 7 or 10 out of tune, there's nothing that can... stand your hair on end faster. I want to talk tonight about living in tune. We're going to talk about being in tune in our lives. And that's something that Paul was concerned about as he interacted with the life of the church at Rome. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. I was very tempted to call this the end of the list, because we started a list 3 messages ago in Romans, and we're ending, we're not even close to ending the list. We're ending the chapter, but not the list. So I couldn't call it the end of the list. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading the whole list that we've been talking about. I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Consider what is good before all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Do not avenge yourselves, dear friends, but give place to God's wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pause and ask for the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, what a list. But Lord Jesus, this is so much wrapped up simply in loving you and loving each other. And I ask that as we spend time this evening looking at the last part of that, that you would open our minds to what you want to say into each individual heart, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to obey your word to us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here. And it's for your glory that we ask all of this. Amen. This is a huge, huge list of individual things that Paul is kind of shotgunning them with. This is all what it means to serve God. This is all of what it means to walk a life that is offered in sacrifice. If you remember, this all starts with Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies to God as sacrifices, alive and holy, which is only reasonable. Since that's what he's done for you, it's only reasonable, is what Paul says. It gets a little intimidating when we start to see the list of what that looks like. The cool thing is that if we focus on what Jesus said, which was love one another and love God, that pretty much takes care of everything on the list. But there are some details that we need to look at. We've done a lot of talking about personal attitudes, about relationship stuff, and today we're going to continue relationship and watch as it takes a turn into where I'd rather not go. Relationships in unpleasant ways, in unpleasant areas. Verse 16 starts with live in harmony with one another. And that's where I get the title from, Are You Out of Tune? When something is done in harmony, it is amazing. A lot of times people ask me, what kind of music do you like? I like good music. I like music with good harmony. I like music with good rhythm. I like good music. Genre is not nearly so important to me. It can be classical. It can be the other end of the spectrum. Almost. Pretty close to the other end of the spectrum. And anything in between, as long as it's good. I love harmony. When my guitar, all 12 strings are in tune, I like a 12-string because it makes me sound better. It sounds better than I play because it adds a lot of the extra notes that I can't put in there. So I cheat and play a 12-string. And when it's in tune, the harmony in a single chord on a 12-string is really beautiful. It's fun to play. It's fun to listen to. But only when it's in harmony. And it doesn't take much. See, with a 12-string, you've got two strings for each note. Some of them are octaves apart. And when even one of those strings is a little out of tune, it throws the whole harmony of the instrument off. And it just makes it painful to listen to. At least if you got ears like mine. Nothing sets my teeth on edge faster than something that's slightly out of tune. Ugh. You know what? That's us as a church when we're not living in harmony. It sets the world's teeth on edge. When we're not in tune. When we're not in tune with the way God says we should be living, we sound terrible. Because we're not in harmony. Or contrasting colors. I live with an artist and I fathered an artist. I'm not sure where they get their talent. It certainly wasn't, well, maybe it was from me. I gave all of mine away, maybe. My daughter's an amazing artist. She loves to paint. You name the medium, she'll paint it. My wife loves to paint. And that's one thing that I've learned is there's two distinct different styles of coloration, contrast and complementary. My daughter loves complementary colors, especially with framing. She works as a framer in an art store in Red Deer. And she loves to do complementary colors when it comes to framing. Me personally, I like contrasting colors. I like bold contrasts. That's probably the Mennonite heritage that I have, which is close to Ukrainian. But then there's the third one that is clashing colors, like a polka dot tie with a striped shirt. There are just some things that should not be done. They don't, the colors, the styles are not in harmony. And it's painful to look at. When we are not in tune, we as a church are painful to look at. And it's only by becoming in tune, in harmony with one another and with the Lord that we become beautiful music, that we become an amazing attraction for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is getting at. Live in harmony, because that is one thing the world will never have. They have cacophony. They have chaos. Our Lord is the master of harmony. He is the master composer. And he has put each one of us as notes on a page to contribute to his symphony of all time. But only when we're in tune do we make it beautiful. Let's keep looking at this list of what it means to be in tune. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I'm not haughty. Do you look down on other people? I'm glad I'm not them. Woo! Sorry, Rick. I mean, just had to make sure you were listening. And I know you're sitting beside Jeff, so both my targets are in easy access. Haughty, arrogance. James talks about this in chapter 2, starting right at the start of the chapter. He talks about when someone comes in, do you look at their clothes and evaluate them? Do you look at the car that they drive and evaluate them? Do you evaluate people by what you see on the outside? If you do, you're haughty, because you're judging somebody according to an artificial system that you have put in place. Do they talk different? Do they use different language? Is there anything that causes you to look at them and go, That's haughty. That's you putting yourself above them because that's not me. Paul is really, really in our faces here today. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Associate with those who are of a lower class. Associate with those who can't afford what you can afford. Associate with those who, you fill in the blank. You know what it is that you use to judge other people, because let's be honest, we all have them. We all have those standards. And God is saying, you know what? I'd really love you to get rid of them because I don't have them. Whatever that standard is, associate with those people. Do not be conceited. Do not esteem yourself. Do not be wise in your own estimation. In other words, don't ask questions so that you can give the right answer. Don't listen to somebody with the sole purpose of giving the answer. I mean, you tuned them out after the first three words and the rest of their conversation. You're just formulating your response. Because I have the right answer. I know more than they do. I have more experience, and they're just putzes. That's conceit. Don't be wise in your own estimation. That's why I read the psalm at the beginning that I did. Lord, I am not proud. My heart is not, my eyes are not proud. My heart is not haughty. I do not ascribe to things too great for me. This was King David. Lord, you've made us all. Teach me not to look down on others. Do not be wise in your own estimation. If you've got all the right answers, no room to learn, no room for friends, no room for much of anything. Don't be conceited. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Consider what is good for all people. But they did that. Yeah, well, guess what? Payback's not something that God's interested in our lives. Do not pay back evil for evil. Do not pay back insult for insult. We don't do evil things. We're Christians. We come to Cowboy Church. We don't do evil things. So let me put it into things that we might do. When you're driving and someone practices their sign language on you, do you give it back? Don't repay evil for evil. Or look with hostility upon somebody because they gave you the dirty look. Mm-mm. Don't pay back evil for evil. Don't pay back hostility for hostility, negativity for negativity. Someone's rude to you on the phone, don't be rude back. I don't care if it's a telemarketer. Yeah, I've been one for many years, which means it's really fun when they call me now because I know how those scripts work. And I know the loopholes in them, and I can take them in circles. But don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. Don't be ignorant. Don't be someone that Jesus wouldn't be on that phone call. There are ways of interacting with them where you don't have to be a jerk. You can say, listen, this is a bad time. And if you don't want to call them again, just ask them to not call you again. By law, they're legally obligated to take you off their call list. Don't know if you knew that. There's a little tidbit for you. But you don't have to be rude. Jesus wouldn't be rude. See, there are so many ways that we do these things and we don't even realize it. And it makes us as Christians sound horrible to the world because we're out of tune with what God wants us to be. We're out of tune for the symphony of love, grace, and forgiveness. Payback. Do not repay evil for evil. Vengeance, justice. We'll talk about those in a few minutes. Consider what is good before all people. As you stop and you're thinking and planning and wondering what to do, it's time to stop thinking about yourself first. What's best for me in this? Sometimes we need to do that. It's called self-care. Sometimes we need to take care of ourselves. Sometimes we need to look around and say, you know what, I am going to do what maybe isn't best for me, but works best for those concerned. Consider what is best for those around. Don't repay evil for evil. But consider what is good before all people. So whatever the context is, be nice. Be gentle. Be peaceable. If possible, I love the way Paul does this because he's a realist. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all people. There are some people who you can never be at peace with. They just are. They're not happy unless they're cantankerous. There are just people like that. Unfortunately, there are some like that in churches too. They're not happy unless they're miserable and can make you miserable. That's just the nature of some people. But if at all possible, insofar as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Stop antagonizing people. Stop holding on to grudges. Start forgiving. Letting go of the stuff that's been dealt out. It's not worth holding on to. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your mental health. It will destroy you. Not to mention destroying your witness. In as much as is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace. My dad used to ask one question when he was in situations like that. Is it worth being right? Is the fight worth being right? Most of the time, that answer is no. It's not. It doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. Let it go. Walk away. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Do not avenge yourselves, dear friends, but give place to God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We don't do that. We never do that. Vengeance? No, not me. No, I just pray for justice. Oh, really? And who defines justice? As long as I'm defining justice, I'm looking for payback. I'm looking to get my own back. I'm looking for them to hurt the way they've hurt me as long as I'm the one defining justice. We as Christians throw that word around so much and we abuse it so much. It is going to be shocking to us when Jesus comes back and reigns in justice and we find out what real justice is and we find out how far short we come up. How dare we? God is the one who will mete out justice. Now, that doesn't say justice in judicial issues should not be sought. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Not at all. If someone breaks the law, forgiveness is one thing. Criminal justice is something else, okay? The two are not the same. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean that I don't care if they're prosecuted. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Not at all. Those are two different things. Please don't confuse them. Societal justice is not what we're talking about. We're talking about me wanting payback because I have not forgiven them. Because I have not taken them to the Lord and said, Lord, I give them over to you. It's between you and them now. Nothing to do with me. Okay? That's what we need to be doing here. That's what not seeking vengeance is. Hey, if I make a note of it, then everybody knows there's a cell phone going off and it's not a big deal. No worries. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Leave it to him. Because I promise you, if these people don't repent, the justice that they will face from the Lord would make you shudder. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. I don't have enemies. Do you have enemies? How many of you here have enemies? You all do. You are Christians living in a hostile world. You have enemies. Whether you realize it or not, whether they have made themselves known to your face or not, there are people in this world that hate you because you are a Christian. No other reason. And they can't stand you or anything that you stand for. Those with an agenda that diametrically opposes the good news of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, inside the church or outside the church, unfortunately, feed them. Take care of them. Meet their needs. That's the message of Jesus. Those that hate you, see, okay, let's go back to some things that Jesus said. We're supposed to love our enemies, but who are our enemies? Jesus has never asked that question, but he is asked the opposite question, isn't he? Okay, Jesus, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Okay, who's my neighbor? Who was the neighbor in that situation? Anyone who took care of him, the Good Samaritan, the hated one. Okay, who's my enemy? Anybody who wants to do me harm. Anybody who wants what's not best for me. If my neighbor is someone who wants what's best for me and is willing to help me attain that, then my enemy is the opposite. And there's lots of those out there. Whether they're in official roles, we won't mention the government. We'll talk about the government next week. There, now you can all stay away next week because you don't want to hear that one. I know that. Prove to me that you're man enough and woman enough to come and listen to what God has to say about government. Anyway, enough of the advert for next week. We have people that hate us. And what is our response? To love them in practical ways. To take care of them. If your enemy is hungry, don't say, "I'll pray for you, brother." Feed him. If he's thirsty, "May you find a spring of everlasting water." Don't give him that. Give him your water bottle and don't ask for it back. H.A. Ironside relates a story from St. Francis of Assisi. A young nobleman complained to Francis of Assisi of a thief. "The rascal," he cried, "has stolen my boots." "Run after him quickly," exclaimed Francis, "and give him your socks." If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. That is an idiom that we don't get very well because we have nothing like it to equate with that. The best scholarship shows us that there was an ancient Egyptian practice that someone who was trying to visibly show their penitence, their repentance, their change of heart and change of mind would walk through the streets with a metal tray on their head filled with burning coals. That was a visible symbol to the world around them that they changed. They had repented, they had changed their life. There was a change happened there. That's the only practice that we can find that matches anything like this. So what does it mean? This goes all the way back to Proverbs, by the way. This is a quote from Proverbs that Paul is using. It means that when you are nice and polite and loving and caring to those that hate you, you are adding, hopefully, to their impetus to turn and repent and come to the Lord. Remember what he says? It is the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. It's not the spankings. It's not the discipline. It's not the judgment. It's the goodness, the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Let me read you a little simpler perspective on that. And I say it's a little simpler because it comes from someone who's a little more down to earth than Paul was. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to keep away from fleshly desires that do battle against the soul and maintain good conduct among the non-Christians, so that though they now malign you as wrongdoers, they persecute you, they hate you, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in that day." That's from 1 Peter. Peter says, don't be abused and persecuted for being a bad person and doing bad things. When you're accused of that, may your accusers see the goodness in you and turn to God. That's what it means to heap burning coals on their head, to help them on their way to repentance, to a connection and an intimacy with God that you already have. And in that way, do not be overcome by evil. Verse 21, Romans 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In that good action, in that good activity to draw those people to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because they don't have that kind of harmony in their life. They don't have a life that fits with others that sounds like that. Folks, there's many, many, many ways that we can be out of tune. The easiest way to remember is to love God with everything that you've got and to love each other just like God does. And the sound of that is amazing. That's living in harmony. Father, thank you for your love for us. And Lord, may the world see that love in us, to each other and to them. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Folks, don't let Satan steal the words God has put in your heart tonight. Have an amazing weekend.